Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Before I read today's chapter, I wanted to let you know that I've tried a couple of interesting add-ons to the podcast today. I'm adding in a couple of sound effects. A lot of people have mentioned in the past how much they enjoyed hearing the page turn, and since I've moved to a tablet, we don't get a page turn sound anymore, so I have added a page turn into the story as it progresses. Also, I've added a sound effect when he comes to a natural break inside of a chapter. It's very subtle, and I don't know if you guys will like the changes or not, but I have included a poll in the podcast, which if you're on Spotify, you'll see the poll, and I'd like to hear your feedback as to whether or not you think these add to the podcast or if they take away. So, let me know what you think by using the poll or by shooting me a quick email. Thanks, and now on with the story. Starless Night, Part 4, In the Web. One of the sects of Faerun named the sins of humanity as seven, and foremost among them is pride. My interpretation of this has always been to think of the arrogance of kings, who proclaimed themselves gods, or at least convinced their subjects that they spoke with some divine beings, thus conveying the image that their power was God-given. That is only one manifestation of this most deadly of sins. One does not have to be a king to be taken down by false pride. Montelio de Bruchy, my ranger mentor, warned me about this, but his lessons concerned a personal aspect of pride.
A ranger often walks alone, but never walks without friends nearby, the wise man explained. A ranger knows his surroundings and knows where allies might be found.
To Montelio's way of thinking, pride was blindness, a blurring of insight and wisdom, and the defeat of trust. A too proud man walked alone and cared not where allies might be found. When I discovered the web of Menzoberranzan and growing thick about me, I understood my error, my arrogance. Had I come to think so much of myself and my abilities that I forgot those allies who had, to this point, allowed me to survive? In my anger over the death of Wulfgar and my fears for Caterbury, Brunner, and Regis, I never considered that those living friends could help to take care of themselves. The problem that had befallen all of us was my own fault, I had decided, and thus was my duty to correct, however impossible that might be for a single person. I would go to Menzoberranzan, discover the truth, and end the conflict, even if that end meant the sacrifice of my own life. What a fool I had been. Pride told me that I was the cause of Wulfgar's death. Pride told me that I could be the one to right the wrong. Sheer arrogance prevented me from dealing openly with my friend, the Dwarven King, who could muster the forces necessary to combat any forthcoming drow attacks. On that ledge on the Isle of Rothe, I realized that I would pay for my arrogance later. I would learn that others dear to me might pay as well. It is a defeat of the spirit to learn that one's arrogance causes such loss and pain. Pride invites you to soar to heights of personal triumph, but the wind is stronger at those heights, and the footing tentative. Farther, then, is the fall. Drizzt Duarden. Chapter 18. Valiant Failure. She noticed a dark elf on the Isle's dock, waving his arms and motioning for her to go back. He seemed to be alone. Caterbury lifted Tolmeril and let fly. The arrow cut the darkness as would a bolt of lightning, slamming into the surprised drow's chest and hurling him back a dozen feet. Caterbury and Gwenhyber stepped onto the beach a minute later. The young woman felt the locket and started to tell Gwenhyber to run around to the right, but the panther had already sensed the nearness of its master, was already in full flight across the broken landscape, veering in from the beach as it ran. The woman followed as quickly as she could, but lost sight of the speeding cat almost immediately as Gwenhyber cut a sharp turn around the base of the nearest hillock, claws throwing up moist turf. Caterbury heard a startled cry, and when she came around the base of the mound, she saw a dark elf soldier looking away from her, his gaze apparently following the run of a panther. One of his arms was upraised, steadying a hand crossbow.
Catterby fired on the run, her arrow going high and scorching a hole in the side of the mound just inches above the drow's head. He spun about immediately and retaliated, the dart clipping the turf near the diving and rolling woman. Quick to fit another arrow, Catterby fired next, driving a hole in the drow soldier's trailing piwafwi as he scrambled to the side. He skidded to one knee, fitted a quarrel as he went, and raised his arm again. Catterby fired also, the arrow blasting through the hand crossbow and the drow's hand, slicing out his wrist and burying deep in his upper chest. She had won the duel, but had lost precious time. Disoriented, the young woman needed the locket again to direct her, and off she ran. His skilled opponent's fierce attacks soon became measured strikes, as Drizzt parried every move and often managed an effective counter. One of the drow held just one weapon now, with his dirk arm tucked in close to his side to stem the flow of blood from a curving scimitar gash. Drizzt's confidence continued to soar. How many enemies were here on the isle, he wondered, and he dared to believe that he might win. His blood froze when he heard a roar behind him, thinking that some monstrous ally had come to the enemy's aid. The wounded drow warrior widened his eyes in terror and began to backpedal, but Drizzt took little comfort in that. Most drow allies were tentative at best, chaotic creatures of incredible and unpredictable power. If this were indeed some summoned monster, some demonic ally stalking from behind him, then Drizzt was surely its primal target. The backpedaling drow broke into a dead run, fleeing along the ledge, and Drizzt used his departure to work around to the side, trying to get a look at what he had to face next. A black feline form whipped past him, pursuing his fleeing enemy. For an instant, he thought that some drow must have a figurine similar to his own, must have summoned a cat similar to Gwenhiver. But this was Gwenhiver, Drizzt knew instinctively. This was his Gwenhiver. Excitement fast turned to confusion. Drizzt thought that Regis must have called the panther back in Mithril Hall, and the cat must have come running out after him. It made no sense, though, for Gwenhiver could not remain on the material plane long enough to make the journey all the way from the dwarven stronghold. The figurine had to have been carried to Menzoberranzan. A cunning sword thrust slipped through Drizzt's defenses momentarily, the weapon tip nicking into his fine armor and stinging his breast. It brought the distracted ranger from his reverie, reminding Drizzt that he had to take one enemy and one problem at a time. He came forward in a blinding burst, scimitars waving and rolling, cutting in at the opposing dark elf from many different angles. The drow soldier was up to the test, though, his swords banging away the deadly blades, even smacking the side of Drizzt's boots as the ranger tried to kick out at the drow's knee. Patience, Drizzt reminded himself, but with Gwenhiver's appearance and so many unanswered questions, patience was hard to come by. The fleeing drow rounded a bend, then, with the panther quickly gaining, he hooked his good arm around a narrow stalagmite and spun to the right, leaping over the ledge to splash into the muck. He got his feet back under him and was bent over, trying to recover his dropped sword, when Gwenhiver crashed down, driving him into the water. He spun and kicked briefly, and when the jumble sorted out, the panther's maw was clamped about the pinned drow's neck, squeezing. He had his face above the water, but could not draw breath, would never draw breath again. Gwenhiver came up from the kill, turned to spring back the dozen feet to the ledge, but dropped low and turned its head, snarling suspiciously, as a rainbow-hued bubble floated over it. Before Gwenhiver could react, the strange thing burst, and Gwenhiver was showered by flecks of tingling material. Gwenhiver leaped for the ledge, but felt as though the intended target was getting farther and farther away. The panther roared again in protest, understanding then the nature of the flecks, understanding that they were sending it back to its own plane of existence. The roar was soon lost to the gentle lapping of the stirred ripples and the clang of steel from up on the ledge. Jarlaxle leaned against the stone wall, considering this new development. He put away his valuable metal whistle, the item that had dismissed the dangerous panther, and lifted one of his boots so that he could wipe away the muck from it. Casually, the cocky mercenary looked up at the continuing sounds of battle, confident that Drizzt Du'Ardan would soon be taken. Catterby was pinned down in the ravine, two dark elves stood sheltered behind twin mounds directly ahead of her, and a third plucked away with his hand crossbow from the base of the hillock to her left. She squeezed in close to her own stalagmite cover as best as she could, but still felt vulnerable as darts ricocheted all about her. Every now and then she managed a shot, but her enemies were well under cover and the streaking arrows skipped and sparked harmlessly off the many stones. A quarrel nicked the young woman's knee. Another forced her to duck deeper into the cubby, forced her to angle her body so that she probably wouldn't be able to fire her bow again. Catterby grew scared then, thinking that defeat had caught up with her. There was no way she could win against three well-trained and well-armed drow soldiers. A quarrel stuck into the heel of her boot, but did not penetrate. The young woman took a long, deep breath. She told herself stubbornly that she had to try to retaliate, that crouching here would prove worthless and would ensure her and Drizzt's death. The thought of her friend gave her courage, and she wriggled about for her shot. She cursed aloud as she fired, for her enemies again were well hidden. Or were they? Catterby scrambled suddenly to the back side of the stalagmite cluster, putting as much interference between herself and the drow on the hillock as possible. She was an open target now to the two soldiers ahead of her, but she was only a target if they managed to get off any shots. Talmoral hummed repeatedly, continuously, as the woman loosed a mighty barrage. She saw no dark elf forms to shoot at, but went after their cover instead, each enchanted arrow pounding away at the twin stalagmites. Sparks flew all about the target area. Chips of flying stones sizzled as they arced into the air. Unable to come out long enough to retaliate, the two drow lost their nerve and fled down the ravine. Catterby got one in the back, then lifted an arrow for the second. She felt the sting in her side and turned about to see another enemy barely 10 feet away, smiling confidently with his hand crossbow out in front of him. Catterby whipped about, her deadly bow falling in line. The drow's mouth opened wide in a sudden, terrified scream, and Catterby put the arrow right into his face, hurling him head over heels through the air. The young woman looked to her bleeding side. She grimaced and yanked out the stinging quarrel, then pulled herself to her feet and looked all about. She couldn't be certain that this last drow had been the one from the hillock, but she felt the insidious poison creeping into her limbs and knew that she couldn't wait around to make sure that no other enemies were creeping behind her. Determinedly, the young woman began to scale the ravine's broken wall, and soon she was up on the ledge, trotting along, trying to keep her focus and her balance. Twinkle hooked inside the drow's sword, and Drizzt sent it rotating, the two weapons cutting great circles in the air between the combatants. His opponent sneaked a thrust in between the fast-flying blades, but Drizzt's other scimitar was in line, knocking the second sword harmlessly aside. Drizzt kept the momentum up, even increased the pressure of the spin. Around went the blades, low and high, and now it was Drizzt who kept his free weapon slipping in through their wake, with cunning strikes that kept his opponent dancing back and off balance. With his superior agility, Drizzt was in control of the circling blades, and both opponents knew that the ranger was gaining the advantage. The enemy drow tightened his muscles to apply counterpressure against Twinkle, exactly what cunning Drizzt had been waiting for. The instant he felt the pressure on his blade, sword and scimitar came up again before his eyes. He ended his roundabout cut, reversed direction, and snapped Twinkle in a short loop, striking the drow's sword on the other side. Overbalanced by the sudden release, the drow's soldier stumbled and could not reverse his pressure on the sword. His blade dived low and flew out wide across his body, twisting him to the side. He tried to get his other sword around for a block, but Drizzt's second scimitar was too quick, jabbing hard into the side of his abdomen. He fell back, reeling, one sword dropping to the stone. Drizzt heard a call. Someone rammed him hard in the shoulder, slamming him up against the stone wall. He bounced off and spun, scimitars up. Intrary! Drizzt's jaw dropped with his guard. Catterby spotted Drizzt on the ledge, saw the other drow fall away, clutching his side, and she cried out as another dark form rushed from a cranny and barreled into Drizzt. She put her bow up, but realized that if the enemy's body did not stop her arrow, it would drive through to strike Drizzt. Besides, a wave of dizziness assaulted the young woman as the effects of the sleeping poison began to course through her veins. She kept Talmoral ready and staggered on, but the 50 or so feet to Drizzt seemed like 100 miles. Intrary's sword flared a green light, further revealing the assassin. But how could it be? Drizzt wondered. He had defeated this one, had left Intrary for dead in a windy ravine outside of Mithril Hall. Apparently, not everyone had left Intrary for dead. The sword came in a devilish 2-stroke routine, thrusting low at Drizzt's hip, then slashing high, nearly connecting across the drow's eyes. Drizzt tried to recover his balance and his sensibilities, but Intrary was all over him, hacking wildly, growling all the while. A snap kick caught the ranger in the knee, and he had to throw himself away from the wall as the green glowing sword sliced down, igniting a line of sparks. The snarling assassin spun with Drizzt, sending his dirk in a wide flying hook. Drizzt's scimitar banged against the shorter weapon, and it flew away. But Intrary's hand came on, falling into a fist, now inside the blocking angle of Drizzt's weapon. A split second before the assassin's fist smacked into his nose, Drizzt realized that Intrary had been one step ahead of him, had expected, even desired, that exact parry. The stunned ranger tumbled backward. Only a narrow stalagmite mound prevented Drizzt from flying over the ledge. Intrary was on him instantly. Sparks, green and blue, erupted as a brutal swipe of the assassin's sword took Twinkle from Drizzt's hand. Drizzt's remaining blade parried the ensuing backhand, but before he could begin to bend to retrieve his dropped weapon, Intrary crouched and kicked Twinkle from the ledge. Still off balance, Drizzt tried a downward chop that was easily foiled, and the assassin countered with another heavy punch, connecting solidly with Drizzt's belly. Up swooped Intrary, his sword running an outward circling arc, taking Drizzt's scimitar with it. It was a game of chess, and Intrary was playing white, advantage gained, and not relinquishing the offensive. Sword and scimitar out wide, the enraged assassin hurled himself into the ranger, forearm leading, smashing Drizzt in the face and snapping the drow's head back brutally against the stone. Intrary's sword hit the scimitar again, knocking it straight out, then again, straight up, and Drizzt, with his sword arm high and Intrary's poised to come in at him, recognized his doom. He rolled away to his right as the sword sliced across, slashing through his fine cloak, banging hard against the dwarf-forged armor and cutting a line across his armpit, aiding the momentum of his dive. Then Drizzt was flying free over the ledge, diving face-first into the muck. Intrary instinctively leaped and rolled as he noticed a flash out of the corner of his eye. A silver-streaking arrow sliced across the jumble of man and cloak, then continued on along the ledge, leaving Intrary prone on the stone, groaning. He managed to slip a hand out from under him, fingers inching to his dropped dirk. "Drizzt!" Catterby called, her grogginess temporarily defeated by the sight of her fallen friend. Drawing her sword, the woozy woman increased her pace, not sure of whether to finish the assassin first or look for the downed drow. Nearing the spot, she veered for the stalagmite, but the choice was moot, for the assassin sprang to his feet, apparently unhurt. The arrow had missed, cutting only a clean hole in Intrary's flapping cloak. Catterby fought through teary eyes and gritted teeth, smacked aside Intrary's first sword thrust, and reached for the jeweled dagger on her belt. Her movements were sluggish, though, for the insidious sleeping poison was fast overwhelming the adrenaline rush, and, as her fingers closed on the dagger, she suddenly found her sword slapped away and a dirk pressed against the back of her hand, pinning it in place against the dagger hilt. Intrary's sword tip was up, dangerously high and dangerously free. The end was upon her, Catterby knew, and all her world had flown away. She felt only the cold steel of Intrary's sword slipping through the tender skin of her neck. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. I'd like to thank everybody who took a couple seconds out of their day to respond to the poll from last week's test of the sound effects. Some of the people thought the sound effects were okay or pretty good, but most of the people seemed to have an issue with one or both of the sound effects and ultimately thought that they detracted from the podcast. so I will not be including the sound effects going forward. Also, I want to take 5 seconds to wish a very happy birthday to Logan McComb, good friend of mine, and a listener for quite some time now. All right, let's get back to business.